Lord be with you.
Also with you.
And welcome, welcome to all of our members, our friends, our visitors. Welcome to everyone. It is good that we are here together for the third Sunday of Advent, and together we will encounter God in word and in sacrament and in the presence of each other. We begin this morning with the words printed in the bulletin. Please join me. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promises I have made.
The Lord is our righteousness. Let us wait with hope and expectation.
I invite all those who can stand to rise now, knowing that if you cannot stand, the church stands with and for you. Desiring all to come to repentance, trusting this promise of grace, let us confess our sin. Everlasting God, you love
justice and you hate wrongdoing. We confess the fear, greed, and self-centeredness that make us reluctant to work against oppression. We are complicit in systems of exploitation. We choose comfort or courage. We are heirs of creation's bounty. Look upon us with mercy. Turn our hearts again to you. Make us glad to do your will and to walk in your ways for the sake of our waiting world. Amen.
Hear these words of assurance. garments of salvation and covers you with robes of righteousness. In the tender compassion of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. God's covenant is eternal, and God's blessing rests upon us all.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the reign of God and for peace throughout the world, for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Your people here who have come to give you praise, for the strength to live your word, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, and defend us, O God.
Why?
Let us pray. Stir up the wills of all who look to you, Lord God.
And strengthen our faith in your coming, that transformed by grace, we may walk in your way. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
And this time in the service, we invite our children to come forward for a children's message. They're all on vacation, so welcome, my children. Welcome, welcome. This is one of those days where my planning, my expectations didn't meet reality, so just bear with me. But is this an orange or a tangerine?
Tangerine.
Tangerine, okay. We'll go with that. A tangerine. I have these great tangerines, and normally we have them out in the front sometimes for our fellowship, and I was expecting we would have them this morning. I'm not too sure why I was expecting that, but I grabbed a tangerine from the kitchen counter at my house, so just go with it, okay? You'll understand in a minute. But we have these great tangerines out on our table for the fellowship hour. Okay, so that's the part you get. It's not real, but just pretend it is. And I can tell you how great and juicy this tangerine is. You peel it apart and the aroma fills your citrusy smell and goodness. And then you eat it. It's juicy and delicious and sweet and tangy. Culinary delight for your mouth, right? But do you want me to just describe it to you? Or do you want to go out and try it yourself? Try it for yourself. Yeah, right? There's only so much description I can tell you about this great tangerine. You've got to go out and take it and peel it and eat it yourself. And then you can go, oh, that was a delicious tangerine. Well, our gospel text today, I think, is like that. John's disciples, he's in prison, and John's disciples are all around him. John's trying to tell them about Jesus, but you know what they got to do? They got to go out and actually encounter Jesus and see that Jesus is the one who is giving sight to the blind, who's making the lame walk, raising the dead to life. They have to experience that themselves. So I encourage us all and our children to go out into the world and encounter the wonders of God all around us. Just like it's not big enough for me to tell you about the tangerine, you need to go and eat it yourself. So let us pray. In the count of three, we'll bring our hands together and clap. One, two, three. And repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for your presence in the tangerine.
Thank you for your presence in the tangerine.
Amen.
We have a beautiful alternative to the anthem this morning. Unfortunately, from the trio, one of the male members who will remain unnamed has been absent and negligent, and so you won't hear from them, but instead something really beautiful, a flute and piano duet. It will be Carol for Advent by Taylor and Tammy Johnson.
Our first reading this morning is written in Isaiah, the 35th chapter. Hear now the word. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like a crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and shouting. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be opened. Then the lame shall leap like deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For water shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
We'll sing, we will not sing. We will read the song responsibly. It is on page 5 of your bulletin. I'll read in the light print if you would respond, please, in the dark. Happy are they who have the God of Jacob for their help, whose hope is in the Lord their God.
Who made heaven and earth, the seas, and all that is in them. Who keeps promises forever.
Who gives justice to those who are oppressed and food to those who hunger. The Lord sets the captive free.
The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord cares for the stranger. The Lord sustains the orphan and widow, but frustrates the way of the wicked.
The Lord shall reign forever.
And our second reading this morning is a letter of James. Hear now the word. Be patient, therefore, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Brothers and sisters, do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the doors. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers and sisters, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, He sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messengers ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." This is the word of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You know what a difference a day can make, right? We were out surfing yesterday, the sun was out, the waves were beautiful. Water was that wonderful temperature, which someone watching you can only describe with the most unhelpful of descriptions. It's not cold once you get in. Feels good when you're in. Never helped anyone on the shore. But it was beautiful. And many days out there, they're like that. You have that beautiful, wonderful day. And then what a difference a day makes. Cold, it's rainy, so I'm going to go out try and see what I can do, but the waves aren't as great. And it's easy, right, to us to think that this is what's occurring in our gospel text today. This, remember last week, it was John the Baptist, fiery John the Baptist, repent and believe, the one who is coming will wash you with fire of the Holy Spirit. What a difference today, though. Now he sits in the prison, which is more like a dungeon. I think that's important for us to remember. Prisons in the ancient world are nothing like prisons today. They were places not of justice, but of injustice. You went to the dungeon because justice was being withheld. And there is John. And now, instead of the bold proclamation, "The one who is coming," is that quiet question, "Are you the one?" And this is a typical interpretation of what is going on, and I invite you all into the mystery of the biblical story, which is, it's really short on details because it's harsh. And there's no real right or wrong way to interpret the story. We live the story. We hear the story. It speaks to us. And we all need to interpret this in our own way. But this path of interpretation just doesn't resonate with me. I think of John as the one living in the desert for 20-some-odd years of his life. He's really good at hardship. He's really good at hunger. He's eating crickets and wild honey for Pete's sake. He has that confidence of a prophet. He is Elijah. I really don't think going to a dungeon is really that big of a deal for him. Could be wrong. You're all welcome to disagree with me. But I don't think this text at all is about John the Baptist. I think this text is about his disciples. You see, there is a far greater prison than physical incarceration. I think most of you might understand this, and if you don't, trust me. The prison of the mind is far greater than your physical prison. I don't think John is imprisoned. I think his disciples are. They've reached the point where they believe their story is over, their journey is at an end, and they are stuck in prison with John. This story, I think, is how his disciples get activated. And what must they do? Well, they must go out and encounter Christ. You can't stay in that spot. You must go out. And friends, there's some truth here, too, that our faith must be our faith. It cannot be the faith given to us by our parents or our friends or generations before. It has to be something that is ours. And in order to get that, in order for it to become yours, you must go out and learn it. You must go out. And so you see, this is our story. And I know life right now has a lot of people down. There's a lot of darkness in the world. There's discouragement. There is all levels of problems. I'm not saying none of those problems are real. They are all real. And yet, at the same time, the worst prison is the prison of your mind. And how do we get out of that? Well, friends, go out. Go out and encounter that Christ is real in the world, that Christ's presence is here, and right now the blind are receiving sight, the lame are walking, the dead are being raised. And if you don't see it, it's because maybe we need to go out more. And going out, of course, is a metaphor. It's a symbol, friends. Let it be whatever it means to you. For each of us, it will be something different. We don't get it if we don't go out. And it is not that our going out is our work. This is the tension in our theology. We do not earn the presence of Christ. We do not earn God's love. We do not earn anything by our efforts of going out. But Christ is here all around us, friends. If you don't go out, you will not learn it. I will not catch any wave sitting on my couch. You cannot plant a garden and watch that seed magically and miraculously grow from something you bury into the ground into a tree unless you plant it. And we won't see Christ in our neighbor if we don't encounter our neighbor. Can't come to this table and drink the bread and wine together unless we come. And so my favorite theologian of all time, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, once said, there are situations where faith is possible. There are situations where faith is not possible. Friends, in this week, we're preparing for Christmas to come. Let us imagine places we can put ourselves where faith is possible. Not because we're earning God's love, because we want to learn of God's love. And the wonderful thing here is if you go out, you can go out like a Jonah, running away from God. We can go out like a St. Paul who's trying to persecute God, and yet God will still find us. All we have to do is go out. Go out and have the adventure that Abraham had. He has called it, go out. He has promised that he'll be a father of many nations. The promise is God's. All we can do is go live the adventure. This is the Sunday of joy, friends. The joy is God is out there. The joy is that in all the things that this world trods against, God is there. The least of these are greater than the kingdom of heaven. The miracle is out there, friends. Let us with courageous love encounter it. This is our pattern, friends. We come to the table not to earn the love of God, because maybe at this table, as we drink and eat bread and wine, we will know and come to understand that God's presence is for us all. And then as we come, we also go to encounter the world, to love the world, and to learn that Christ is now present. And it's us, our task, to be the body of Christ for the body of Christ. Amen.
In our waiting and watching, we come to you in prayer, O God, trusting your promise to renew the church, the nations, and the whole creation. God of power and mercy, we praise you for Jesus and his acts of healing and liberation. Lead us to proclaim the good news from generation to generation, that all may place their hope in you. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
When lands are parched and dry, bring rain and snow. Where wilderness is barren, sow seeds of life. Fill the lands with trees that grow, plants that flower, and creatures that thrive, as nature proclaims the wonder of your works. God of grace, when there is injustice or corruption among nations and leaders, root it out. Turn their attention to inequity and the cries of the poor. Instill a deeper sense of compassion and care in all who govern. God of grace, when bodies weaken and hearts grow fearful, Speak your blessing. We pray especially for Joe, Carol, Misty, Annette, George, Vince, Dietmar, Michael, Marty, Victor, Corinne, Julie, Paul, Mike, Kenneth, Tracy, Emma, Catalea, Ed, Jean, Jeannie, Joan, Barbara. We pray for immigrants and refugees that they may be treated justly, their dignity honored, and their rights upheld. We pray for victims of war and violence, for victims of natural disasters, both in our nation and around the world, and also for those people whom we name aloud or in our hearts.
Mary. Craig.
In uncertain times, remind us of the promise spoken to our ancestors in faith. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
When people are imprisoned or held captive, break the chains and offer release. Strengthen the work of the church in restorative justice, breaking cycles of poverty, and welcoming the immigrant. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
As we await your coming, we give thanks for the faithful who have lived and died in faith. May the boldness of faith inspire our witness and work. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Draw near to us, O God, as we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Christ Jesus, Emmanuel.
Amen.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
We invite you to share the peace of Christ with those around you.
Thank you.
invite us all to come back together now. Please rise for our offering. Son, Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
With this bread and cup, we remember your word dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. We remember our new birth in the death and resurrection, and we look with hope for his coming.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Make holy God, we long for your spirit. Come among us. Bless this meal. May your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people, fill us with your light, bring the gift of peace on earth.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Joined together in one, let us pray as our Savior has taught us. Our Father in heaven,
hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated. Friends, this is the table of God for all the people, and all are welcome to receive at this table. And we have a very simple definition for what all means. All means all, which means all, which means all, which means all. Here, you are part of the hall. In a moment, the ushers will come forward, and we invite you to, as you come forward, to fill our communion rail from right to left, and you may receive communion either standing or kneeling, whichever is most comfortable to you. Only come with your hand extended. Your bread will be given to you. We have gluten-free options upon request. And then reach in and take either the red cup, which is wine, or the clear cup, which is grape juice. But know that all who come, will receive at this table, for this table is for all. Amen.
Thank you.
keep us in grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. Generous God, in bread and cup you have revealed your glory to all, for all people to see. Nourish us by this view. Send us out to proclaim your good news of liberation and release brought to birth in Jesus Christ our Savior.
Amen.
Friends, we pause just a little bit for some announcements, and no one is more happier than this announcement, but Sandy will be back in the office on Wednesday. Bit of a mess without her, but she'll be back, so a couple more days, and we'll have Sandy back. Thank you, Emily, for all your assistance while Sandy's been gone. A couple of other announcements. We want to highlight our giving tree. We've gotten a lot of people who've taken our giving tree. We've got a couple more items left, and so there's that's still available if someone wants to do that or not. Those are due on the 18th, so we can drop them off to Samaritan House. We also want to highlight the Stone Soup meal next Monday, and we're hoping to talk about Christmas cookies with that Christmas meal for Stone Soup. So if you'd like to assist that by bringing some homemade Christmas cookies in for us to hand out for that Monday, we would appreciate it. We also want to make sure everyone highlights the Christmas schedule, which is Christmas week, Christmas Eve services here on the 24th at 7, and then on the 25th, we will have a service at 10. And now I invite Emily forward for a little table company.
Morning. Actually, completely forgot I was going to do this morning, so everybody bear with me. We have been working really hard to get a ministry started where we're doing a lot of gardening projects. Last month, I talked to you about the pea garden that we're getting started with the ABC Center across the street. But the part that I'm really excited about is actually planting fruit trees in the community, because fruit trees have this huge potential to feed us in the future, right? So you plant a fruit tree now, and 20 years from now, you're still picking fruit. And, you know, as John said during the homily, if we don't plant the seed, the tree doesn't grow. So I have put a display out in the lobby that I'm hoping you guys will all take a minute to look at. It talks about two different aspects of this. And the first isn't actually planting trees at all. The first is just figuring out where trees are already growing in the community, especially in your yard or in your neighbor's yard. And like, think about it. Think about, you know, you planted a tree 5 years ago. It turned out to be a lot of work. You don't have time for this. And now all the fruit is laying on the ground. Or you have a neighbor who all the fruit is laying on the ground. What we're trying to do is organize volunteers to go around and harvest this fruit in the fall, process it, and make it available to the community, not just to the food bank, but yes, to the food bank, but just to everyone in the community, because this is here for all of us to eat, right? So if you know one of these trees, please sign up at the display in the back or take a flyer and start a conversation with a neighbor. We would like to come around in the fall, harvest this fruit, and make it available to the community. And, you know, of course, we give a portion to the owner and help clean up the yard. So, but what do you do if you don't have any trees? I've gotten this question quite a bit already. So what do you do if you don't have any fruit trees? Well, we want to help with that too. We are looking to see if there's any interest in holding a grafting workshop this spring. Grafting is this ancient technique, it's even referred to in the Bible, where you take a rootstock that you know is going to grow really well in your climate with the variety of fruit that you actually want to eat, and you essentially just cut the ends and glue them together, and they will grow that way. And this is how fruit trees are produced reliably in large number and for a very cheap price. We want to have a workshop to teach this spring. Everybody who takes the workshop will get a free tree, which we will also help you plant if you want. But even if you do not have space for this tree and you still want to learn how to graft, please, please, please sign up for the workshop. You can donate the tree, and we will plant it in the community in a space like where it will be available for everyone. So, there's a display by the photo board in the narthex. So please, everyone, take a look at it, and please, everyone, sign up. So, and yeah, happy Sunday.
May the God of peace bless you. The love of Christ sustain you in hope. the anointing of the Holy Spirit remain.